Obanai in the shotgun with Wheaton, takes the snap, rolls near side right, throws, it's caught! Touchdown, Greg Little, and the Browns lead!
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Here's Wheaton, play action fake, looking, throwing, wide open, touchdown, it's Obanai!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
Well, we are going to end this bye week very, very strong for you here today. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagora. We're going to end this week strong because we've got a strong lineup of guests. You're going to get more national perspective from the Browns, on the Browns, and from one of the best in the business, Pete Prisco, CBSSports.com, our good buddy. Strong opinions from him. And speaking of strong, the man who loves that word strong, that's why I keep using it, is Michael Regei. He is going to join us as well. He's the co-host with yours truly of the Browns Preview Show on the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network Wednesday nights. He also co-hosts with Ken Carmen the Rob Chudzinski Show on Thursdays. And Nathan, we're going to do something special. This is a little bit of your brainchild. You've put this together. Explain.
Yeah, do a little mid-season award show here in Notorious. Happy to be with you on this Friday, the Friday of the bye week for the Cleveland Browns. So I think it's time, 9 games into the season, that we take a look back both at the Browns and also the NFL and hand out some mid-season awards, make some projections, some prognostications about what we expect to see over the second half and have a little fun with it.
Oh, I think it's a great, great idea, and this is the perfect time to do it. We've been doing some mid-season reflection on ClevelandBrowns.com. I've been writing kind of reviews of, okay, offense, defense, special teams, the coaching staff, posting that right now. And really, when you break it down, there's interesting stuff when you go into all these areas and you figure out that there's been a lot that's happened through these 9 games. I mean, it's really a fascinating twist and turn, and I find myself amazed that there's still 7 more games to go, and obviously a lot of different things and hopefully good things in front of this football team. But when you do reflect, as we will today on this show and as we've been for most of this week, Nathan, it's astounding to look at how much this team has actually been through, how much we've been talking about for the stretch.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a team that's gone through 3 quarterbacks. They traded the guy that was supposed to be the centerpiece of their offense, etc., and still here they are with a chance to come off the bye week, take on the Cincinnati Bengals in week number 11, and depending, you know, if they get a little bit of help from the Ravens, have a chance to basically play their way into first place in the AFC North as early as week 11, and that is something that, you know, while we both thought they had an opportunity to play some meaningful games in December, we certainly weren't sure it was going to happen as it has, and it's been a lot of fun to be a part of it, and it's certainly been almost a roller coaster of emotions, you know, 0-2, then 3-2, and everybody thought everything was great, then they go lose 3 in a row to 3-5, and the sky is falling, and pull out a huge win, obviously, against the Baltimore Ravens psychologically, for standings, for everything, absolutely was a big, big win.
Jabir Howerton from ClevelandBrowns.com will take you inside the locker room today with Joe Thomas. You're going to hear from the multi-time, 6-time Pro Bowl offensive tackle for the Browns. Get his assessment of things. A good thing to hear from Big Joe. And then, as Nathan just mentioned, we'll do those mid-season awards right in the second, top of the second hour of our show. Pete Prisco around 2:25 p.m. Eastern, and then you'll hear from Gerard Chariot about 2:40. Again, I always mention Eastern because we have a lot of people who listen, obviously, to the station, but particularly to this show, the displaced Browns fans from all over the country, all over the world, who hear this thing streaming on ClevelandBrowns.com.
And we love and that.
ESPN Cleveland, we do love that. Gerard Chariot, about 2:40, you'll hear from his regular spot. I mentioned Michael Regei at the bottom of the hour. And, Nathan, here's the other thing. It's the beautiful – I think there are multiple great things about this bye in terms of its timing. Coming after – a game that the Browns won. Now, that you don't know until the game's played, but I think when you're putting it right here at about this mid-season point, this after this 9th game, coaches don't get to pick this. This is all done by the league. They figure out the buys. And some teams get them way too early. Some get them a little bit later. But when you fall into this point of the season and you get yourself a bye, it's perfectly timed to get healthy. If you're dealing with major, major injuries, obviously it might not matter. But I think where the Browns are, and for the most part, and I knock on wood as I say this, they've done a pretty good job of staying healthy. And the guys who are somewhat banged up, obviously Jason Campbell, the most concerned, a quarterback coming off the bruised ribs that he had against Baltimore. This is a nice healing time.
It's a great healing time, and that was a very physical game against the Baltimore Ravens, and it gives the guys a chance to heal their bodies. And yesterday, when we went inside the locker room with DaQuell Jackson, our own Jameer Howardson sat down with him, and he basically said that as well. He said this was a pretty physical game. This bye week could not have come at a better time for our team to really get healthy, heal up, and basically get a chance to kind of recharge right in the middle of the season. I think there's a big advantage for teams that get to do that. Other teams have to start their bye weeks, you know, in week number four.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you have the entire second half of the season without a respite. Other teams, like the Seattle Seahawks right now, are a little bit banged up, and I know they'd love to get their bye week. They have to wait till week number 12. So it ends up being a very good time for the Cleveland Browns to go on a bye, and something that hopefully, again, we've had a few breaks have gone the Browns' way, and maybe this is another one.
Yeah, I think it's perfectly timed. Skeptics will say, well, you don't want to break up momentum. You're on a roll after that Baltimore game. Just keep it going. And there's something to be said for that. But I think the nature of the game of football, I think momentum is always important, but I think it's probably more critical as you get to the latter stages of the year when you are, if you are hitting your peak at the right time, which is that late stretch run, trying to get in the postseason and in the postseason, you know, that's when you want to be hot. That's when you want to be rolling. And some would argue that extra week between the conference championship game and the Super Bowl affects teams adversely. I've studied that with a lot of football people, and there's some merit to that, actually. But I think at this stage, again, much more important to recover and also prepare. And we've said this before, and I bring this up because I wrote about this coaching staff in my most recent post on ClevelandBrowns.com. I think this group, as smart as it is and how inventive as it is, creative as it is, they're going to come up with some good concepts and schemes that will give this team a better opportunity, I think, to win a game at Cincinnati, scheme the fact that they're going to be a different team without Geno Atkins, scheme the fact that you know more now about Tyler Eifert, the rookie tight end, and Giovanni Bernard, the rookie running back, than you knew when you faced them earlier in the year in Cleveland. So I think all of those elements also come into play.
Absolutely. They definitely all come into play. And this is a team, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals are going to know from playing the Browns once some of the things that the Browns were able to do to be successful against them. And this is going to be a period where the coaches have an opportunity to really game plan for an important game and to also make some adjustments and counter, because it's a chess game, as you well know, to kind of counter, think ahead of the fact of what some of the adjustments the Bengals will make after being held to just 6 points in Cleveland in the first time. And it gives this great coaching staff the opportunity to try and counter that. And we've already heard Ray Horton earlier in the week say, you know, that his grade is incomplete. He wants the team to get a lot better. Well, this is a good way to, certainly would be a great way to start with this defense that's been pretty much lights out from the second half of the Kansas City Chiefs game on.
So I'm not going to lie. I'm going to watch football this weekend. I mean, a lot of us, that's that's what we do, right? I mean,
yeah.
it'll be more relaxing. Now you, it's a work weekend for you because you've got your sports, CBS Sports, your fantasy work with them in New York. So you make your regular trip there and do your regular thing there. And we'll be looking forward to that as well. It's all great stuff that you do there. But, you know, from my standpoint, it's going to be that I'm going to try just to, and I know it won't happen because it never does. I always have a notebook or something handy, either my, you know, my tablet or notebook or something that is going to be in hand as I watch games, because I'm perpetually taking notes on this stuff as we do. This is how we do things. But I do want to just kind of drift to that place that says, all I want to do is just be a fan of the two teams that I'd like to see win this week for the Browns' sake. One, of course, is the Ravens,
yep.
And that's an awkward thing, but it makes perfect sense. Got to have
sometimes
them win
the
that
enemy
game.
And my enemy is my friend, Notorious.
And I think it's a, you know what? I think I like their chances in Baltimore.
I do.
Don't you?
I absolutely do. They're playing good defense. What the Browns were able to do against them was rare. Remember, coming into the game, they'd given up 5 offensive touchdowns since week 1 total. The Browns hung 3 up on them. Andy Dalton comes into this game off of a dreadful performance. He's been inconsistent. We'll see if he can get fired up again. But it's a good Ravens defense, and they're going against a team that's going to be without its top corner in Leon Hall, without its top interior lineman in Geno Atkins, and is battling some injuries on the defensive side of the ball. So this is certainly a Bengals team that is more vulnerable now than it was maybe a couple weeks ago, and I think that the Baltimore Ravens certainly have an opportunity to exploit that and bring home a victory this week.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, and it would be obviously a nice thing. It's wishful thinking to make sure they do it, but I'm looking at the Ravens, and they definitely got enough muster up. They play effort-wise, they came to Cleveland definitely ready to play a physical game, a chippy game. They were ready to make a statement. I think they understood what they were lacking, and they understood where the Browns held some advantages, and the Browns outplayed them and deserved that win from top to bottom. But I think when they came away from that game, and I sensed this, and I didn't talk extensively to John Harbaugh about it, but I had some quick discussions after the game and with some other Raven people. You know, there was a respect that the Browns gain as much as they would give that up to me in my connection with the Browns. But I don't think that goes away. I don't think they saw that as their sort of last hurrah for the season, because it can't be and shouldn't be. They're still in this thing, and I think they look at the opportunity. If they can knock off the Bengals, if they see what we see in the Bengals, some vulnerability there, and beat them at home, obviously they're doing us a favor while doing themselves a favor. And I think it just continues to reinforce what I think this AFC North is, and it's a division that is weeks from being decided, despite what our good friend John Clayton and others say about the Bengals running away with this thing. I'm not seeing that.
I'm not seeing that at all either. And listen, if the Baltimore Ravens win this game, they will go to 4-5. The Bengals will be 6-4. They'll be one game behind the Bengals. The Browns will then play the Bengals. So you'll basically have 3 teams within a game of each other. The one thing that lends a little bit of credence to the fact that maybe you say that the Bengals are the class is when you look at the NFL right now, the Bengals are point differential on the season is plus 51. Mm-hmm. The Browns, 4-5, minus 25. The Ravens only minus 4. So this is a better Ravens team than I think people realize. And I think that if they win this game, it's going to be very interesting. It's going to be a 3-team race. And the good news would be for the Browns that they will have at least split with Baltimore. And at the worst, they will have split with Cincinnati. If they can beat Cincinnati and have that 2-0 head-to-head tiebreaker on them, that would be absolutely phenomenal. And right now, the Browns do have the best record in the AFC North, best divisional record, 2-1.
Yeah, no, that I know. That isn't that. I love that. I love that that is true and that is the case.
Right.
And the other game, and you know, those will say, well, the Pittsburgh Steelers are done. You know, 2 wins at this point, they're not a factor. And I don't buy that. I want this team to be put out of its misery. I want the Steelers to be done. And done would be the Buffalo Bills going down to Heinz Field, still a pretty tough place to play. And get a victory. They got E.J. Manuel back at quarterback. They're getting healthy at some of their other spots. They've been a banged-up football team. So I had a lengthy discussion with a close friend of mine who is a Bills diehard fan, although when he was a kid, and you may or may not be aware of this, but in Western New York, in the Buffalo, New York area where I spent a lot of time, and I covered the Bills for the Buffalo News, in this area, a lot of folks before the Bills came around were Browns fans. I mean, that was the closest thing they had to professional football. And he recalled as a kid, he's about my age, but he recalled as a kid his father regularly taking him to watch the Browns play. So he said he was really a Browns fan before he became a Bills fan. But now, you know, we were discussing this game Sunday at Pittsburgh, and he's going down for it. And he said, I just think it's a tough place to play. Rookie quarterback coming back from an injury. We're asking a lot to see if we could do this. I said, look, not only do I think you'll win this game, and I do think the Bills will. I think the Steelers are in trouble. I think the Steelers, attitude-wise, I don't think it could get much worse than it did in the late stages of that New England game.
They quit.
It looked like
I'll just call it, come out and say it.
Done.
They quit at the end of that game.
They had given up. I mean, they looked like a team that quit, definitely.
They did.
Yeah, yeah. So What's the now? Is the upshot of that that Mike Tomlin can get him to regroup? That Mike Tomlin, you know, okay, guys, challenge their manhood and challenge their pride and get them going. But I'm not so sure you can do that if you're in that frame of mind. I don't know. I'm skeptical. And anyway, I'm expecting the Bills to go down to Pittsburgh and win.
We're going to find out what happens there. I think the Steelers have a little bit more resolve than that and will defend their home field against the Buffalo Bills. We don't know what kind of rest there will be with DJ Manuel. But one of the things that was always difficult to do in the past was to run the football on the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that has not been the case of late. In the last two games, in fact, they've given up 3 rushing touchdowns in each of the last two games. They've given up 300 yards rushing to running backs and another 100 yards rushing to quarterback Terrell Pryor. So this is a team that's given up basically 400 yards on the ground in the last two games alone. That is not a staple of Steeler football. And when you look at what the Buffalo Bills come to town to do, they come to run the ball. C.J. Yeah. Spiller is finally healthy. He come in off of a game with 116 yards rushing, season high, 155 total yards. Then they get Fred Jackson involved. He had 77 yards rushing himself, 99 total. So this is a tough matchup for a run defense of the Pittsburgh Steelers that is struggling. And when you talk about path to victory, et cetera, if the Buffalo Bills can control this game on the ground, which they should be able to do, they absolutely can go in there and win that game if, in fact, E.J. Manuel takes care of the football in Pittsburgh.
216-578-0850. 216-578-0850. Call us up. Let us know your thoughts on the Browns at the bye and whatever else you want to talk about, because that's what we do on the show. We talk with you. We interact. You can also tweet us at Browns_daily or at my partner's handle at NATHANZEGURA or mine at VICCARUCCI. And by the way, we got a birthday boy with us today.
That's right. That's right. Dino, happy birthday, bro.
Thank you guys very much.
Our outstanding producer, Dave DiNatale, happy birthday to you, my friend. And send him some birthday wishes while you're chatting with us as well, because he deserves it. He's a good man. All right, we got much more coming up for you. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, a Football Friday bye week edition on ESPN 850 WKNO.